Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
That kid is back on the escalator again.
Pain don't hurt.
Is my boomstick.
Game over, man. Game over.
Welcome to the Barkin' Bin. He's your host, Ben Mason.
And he is your co-host, Sandra Lukatic. And today we're talking 1988's Earth Girls Are Easy. We assume if you're listening to this episode, you have already seen the movie, which I had not. And I avoided it my entire life until you picked it last week. Please, Sandra, tell me why and what your experience is with this film.
Well, I watched this kid...
Excuse me? Go on.
I watched this movie as a kid.
Clarification.
This is a solid start to today's episode. I watched this movie as a kid with my cousin. It was part of like a library of movies he had that we would watch over and over again whenever I would go over there and visit.
Okay.
I haven't seen it since I was probably 8 or 9 years old. And I remember liking it back then, probably because we didn't have too much else. And then I never thought about the movie again until just about a week ago. My wife was like, oh, I saw a trailer for this movie that looks terrible that you guys should review. And I looked at her, I'm like, you don't think we just review bad movies? She's like, don't you? No.
I had a very similar conversation the other day.
I'm like, we review lesser known movies that happen to be bad or can be good. And she's like, well, I saw a trailer for this movie. I've never seen the movie, but it looks terrible. You should review Earth Girls Are Easy. So here we are.
I have to ask, what do you actually remember? Like, what did you remember about the movie before you picked it?
The look of the aliens.
Okay, that's fine. I was really curious because this is not a movie for kids.
No, I'm watching it now for this review, and there is quite a few times where I'm like, probably shouldn't have been watching that.
This is the horniest comedy I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, and there's so many jokes that I just did not get when I was a kid watching the movie. That I'm watching now, and I'm like, man, somebody really should have censored this stuff.
Oh my God, man. When I started watching this movie, I was so angry with you.
Why?
Why? This movie made me so fucking angry.
Why?
Until it didn't.
Yeah.
And we will get into that.
Okie dokie.
So, I guess it's time to play your game.
It is not.
No?
No.
Why is that?
Because I forgot.
Okay. That's fine.
Like, straight up completely forgot until I hit record. I'm like, I thought I did everything in advance, you know, getting the graphics ready, getting the website page done. No, I didn't. I forgot the game, which is a shame because there's a lot of people in this movie.
I don't think we really covered any of them before, and I find that very strange.
Come on, man. It was a segue to the cast.
There is one voice that I picked up on immediately.
Okay.
And that is one of the writers who also played Candy, Julie Brown, voiced Lisa in a Goofy movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, see, now I'm failing your game.
Gina Davis, I don't think we've covered before. Jeff Goldblum, I don't know. Jim Carrey.
We did. We did Once Bitten.
Yep. I think that might have been it, though. Damon Wayans, yeah. No. Michael McKean, no. Not Charles Rocket. He looked familiar the entire time I was watching this movie. Dr. Ted.
Yeah.
Couldn't place him. Had to look him up.
Yeah.
One of the villains or the villain of Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, I love Dumb and Dumber. Another Jim Carrey movie.
Exactly. But yeah, crazy. A star-studded film with a lot of people we've never really talked about.
I have to imagine this is before a number of them were famous.
For the most part, yes. But let's jump into this film, because there are many things I really need to ask you about.
Okie dokie.
The movie starts off with some of the most horrible special effects I've ever seen, revealing a spaceship inhabited by three aliens. Now, please, for the love of God, describe what these aliens look like.
Very colorful Wookiees?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just covered in fur all over, very bright colored, and they speak their own language. That's about it.
Red, yellow, and blue, wearing helmets and cod pieces.
Yeah, well, you know, prime colors.
Yes, of course. These three are Mac, Zeebo, and Whiplock. Mac, played by Jeff Goldblum, Zeebo, Damon Wayans, and Whiplock, Jim Carrey. Do you think we need the alien language?
No.
No, I agree completely. I thought it was awful. I hated every second of it. It's already over the top. Just let them speak English. But why? Like, Mac is suspended in some weird, like, sleep tube. But Zeebo and Whiplock are up and around controlling the ship. Why are these aliens so horny?
Because they've been in the ship for a very long time and haven't had any females. I thought that was pretty clear.
So, they bring up this weird cat stripper on their space TV, and it leads to our first musical number. I didn't know this was a musical.
Yeah, completely forgot about that. Caught me off guard.
I hate everything about this movie so far.
Okay.
So we cut to Valerie and Dr. Ted's house. So Valerie, played by Gina Davis, Dr. Ted, Charles Rocket. And Valerie's asleep in her wedding dress, freaking out when Ted comes home because he shouldn't see her in it before the wedding.
Why did she just fall asleep in her wedding dress?
I don't know. I don't. But it is a really efficient way to set up their scenario. They get through a lot of preamble very quickly, and I do appreciate that.
Well, they got to get more time in for the musical numbers.
Oh, God. As soon as the first one happened, I'm like, oh, my God, this is going to be singing the entire way through. Luckily, we only get a few scenes. But what are your immediate thoughts on these two?
I mean, she seems so stupid.
I know, right? Like, she seems like a Valley girl until we get to Candy later. But what about Dr. Ted?
Oh, Dr. Ted is a sleazebag.
Oh, my God. The worst.
You're supposed to care about the protagonist, I would imagine. So setting up Dr. Ted as this sleazebag who is unfaithful, lying to her, covering up hickeys, that works. It gives you sympathy. But then you look at her and you're like, you're so stupid. Like, you're doing it to yourself.
Yeah, I feel terrible for her, though. I was never a fan of Gina Davis until this movie. But yeah, you summed it up perfectly. He's in the bathroom covering up a hickey while she's getting ready for sex. So it shows how off these two characters are. We cut to the next day.
You didn't like her in A League of Their Own?
No, I didn't like A League of Their Own.
Okay.
I did like The Fly, though, also starring Jeff Goldblum. I mean, those two are a couple for how long? They were married. Valerie arriving at her job at the salon. Now, no secret here. As you know, I love 80s malls and movies. I think this might be the first time I've seen an 80s strip mall in a movie. And you know what? Just as good.
What is it about a mall or a strip mall that you love from the 80s?
I don't know. I really don't. It's some like weird, cheesy nostalgia that I've never fully realized. But it works. Obviously, the Galleria from Commando and Fast Times at Ridgemont High. My favorite mall of all time. That is my mecca. I would love to go there if it's still open. I don't know.
It's the elevator, isn't it?
It really is, you know.
It's so cool.
It's so cool. I love it.
You know what's not cool?
What?
Blow drying your fingernails as you're getting out of your car?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of blow dryers in this movie.
I didn't even know they had portable blow dryers back in then.
I never thought about that. Another
88?
Cut.
I don't know.
Yeah. This time to a gym that looks like it was designed by Tim Burton. And this is just more of a setup of Ted's apprehension.
Where is this gym? Is it in the hospital?
But we're only there for a fucking second. And then we never go back to it.
I'll tell you what part of the hospital it's in, the morgue.
back at the salon, we meet Candy. I have my opinions, but what do you think of Candy?
Candy's fun.
I think she's amazing.
That's like, she's not meant to be a deep character. That much is very obvious immediately.
Yeah.
But she's a blast. Like, she is so much of the fun in this movie.
She is absolutely wonderful.
She's got that bubbly personality that you just, like, you smile.
Some of the best lines in the movie, too.
Oh, by far.
It's really weird. I find that the most entertaining characters in this movie are the secondary characters.
Well, and think about who the primary characters are, man.
I know. They should be our focus. They should be the ones making us laugh. But for me, it's Candy and Woody all the way.
Oh, easily. But I mean, think about it. The main cast is a bunch of aliens that can't talk. They're just mimicking shit. And then Gina Davis, who's a dumb valley girl who is difficult to get behind.
But I feel it's easier to identify with her than Candy, though. Like, well, maybe not identify, but root for.
Candy, I'm not identifying with anybody in this movie, man.
Well, Candy is, for lack of a better term, an airhead. But she's hilarious, and she doesn't need to have more of a character than that.
But the thing is, she comes off as an airhead. But if you actually analyze the lines that she has, the thought process that she displays, even the lyrics of some of the song numbers, it's intentional. It's very specific. It's not like she's just an airhead. She's calculated in it.
Well, that's the thing, too. She comes across as an airhead, but of all the people we encounter in this movie, she has her shit together the most.
Yeah.
She is probably the best character in the movie. Favorite, debatable, but realistic, yeah. Yeah, she is one of the best, bar none.
Well, she's the one that fits in most for what this movie is supposed to be. Just dumb fun. Don't think about it. Just
perfect.
Just have fun.
She's Madonna, basically.
Well, yeah, that's pretty given to you. Yeah.
She decides the way to reinvigorate Valerie's sex life is a makeover, and this just leads to another musical number. I hate it. I really, really hate it.
Not really sure about the logic behind this.
Nope.
She asks, well, what would make Ted interested in you? And she's like, oh, another woman. It's like, well, then we'll make you another woman. It's like, well, yeah. Just the base...
You're not good enough. Let's make you somebody else.
Yeah. Like, the actual just base meaning of your intention here should kind of set off red flags. Like, the only thing that would make things better is another person. Maybe you should already not be marrying this guy.
Yeah. I think you can agree. This is the worst song in the movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. Back at the house, Valerie is now made over, completely sexed up, and acting out potential scenarios, reading the book How to Drive a Man Crazy. One of the first really good laughs I had in this was when she sprays some of the perfume on the lamp, which leads to the whole thing catching on fire.
Which doesn't make sense, but it made me laugh too.
Yeah. And Ted comes home with another woman. It decent comedy. I was shocked. I was really shocked. And from here on, we get a completely different tone throughout the rest of the film. So I'm excited at this point because I was ready to hate everything about this.
Does she not hear a woman's voice in the house? Because I don't know if we ever get the nurse's name. This is like blonde nurse or something.
We do. I forget what it is, though.
Okay. I don't think it matters that much. But she's talking to Ted.
Yeah.
Do you not recognize the woman's voice?
Well, that's the thing, too, because we see her hiding in the closet to surprise Ted. And while we're in the closet with her, we hear those two talking. And she just doesn't pick up on anything.
Why does she even need to hide in the closet?
I don't know.
She's supposed to be out of town. If he just walked in and she was there dressed like that, you got your surprise. Although, again, then this would be a lot tougher to figure out, but still. It looks like her name might have been Robin.
Robin, Juan. Yes. So After a very awkward confrontation, Valerie kicks Ted out of the house while he's almost completely naked in his Dr. Love getup.
Okay, sorry. I got to go back here for a second.
Okay, please do.
Valerie jumps out of the closet to surprise Ted and somehow tackles Robert and still doesn't quite get that it's not Ted until he comes in, sort of. It's like the body size is clearly different. It's just such an awkward scene.
I don't know how to explain it. There's a lot of this movie I can't.
I just wanted to talk about it. That's all.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
She kicks him out of the house. He gets in his car and speeds off.
Yeah.
To where?
I don't know.
Yeah. He's wearing boxers, a stethoscope, some weird medical surgery hat thing. That's it.
Yeah, he's Dr. Love.
Yeah, he is.
All while the neighbor is spying on them.
Okay, Mrs. Murphy, the neighbor. What is the point? Why is she in this movie?
I don't know. Just to be a pervy neighbor that likes to eavesdrop. I don't know.
Because we go back to her like 3 or 4 times.
Never has a bearing on the plot.
Well, see, that's the thing. I thought she was going to report the aliens at some point and like bring the government angle into the mix or something. But no, she's just there.
Yeah.
So Valerie has a flashback to what I guess are happier times where she just is fucking up every situation with Ted.
The football one makes me laugh so hard because it's so stupid.
It's horrible.
If you're a cheerleader for a football team, you know not to run onto the field. You don't even need to be a cheerleader. You don't need to be that close to the game. But it makes me laugh because when he's on the floor looking at her like, oh my God, it's just funny.
And she brings the pom-poms up to her face like, whoops, silly me. What are we doing? And then she just destroys all of Ted's things. Like the football goes in the microwave and explodes. Pocket watch in the garbage disposal I thought was pretty funny.
I very much enjoyed her just destroying everything.
The one thing that really caught me off guard, though, was the bowling ball through the computer monitor. Why set up a track? Like she built a stand for it and then built a track leading down to the monitor and just rolled the ball through the monitor. Just throw it.
Well, maybe she can't lift it.
Yeah, okay.
Even though she had to lift it onto the track.
Exactly.
Maybe she's just having some fun with it, okay?
Accurate response, though, right? Trash everything? Valerie gets a call from Candy and lets her know what happened. Okay. I guess we just need to move the story along. And then we go back to the spaceship where these horny aliens get a TV transmission from Earth. And somehow they look down on the planet and see Valerie in a bikini sunbathing.
That is quite the telescope. But they also do not seem to care what species of female it is.
Yes, that's something I also noted. These are really, really creepy aliens. Zeebo and Whiplock get in a fight and they crash in Valerie's pool. Valerie, not knowing how to deal with the situation, tries to convince herself that the spaceship isn't there and that she's going to swim right through it.
Okay, how stupid do you have to be? There are other ways to test that it's not there, and all of them include not smashing headfirst into it. You know, reach an arm out.
Throw something.
Not to mention, when you see the pool later, it looks like the ship takes up, like, almost the entirety of the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And yet somehow she has a lot of distance to get, like, a full forward swim into this pool. You can see it when they're looking at her from the screen. There's not that much room.
I don't think we can really critique this movie on such facts.
I'm just having fun with it, dude.
I'm right there with you. Because you... Logic, okay. Logic does not exist in this world.
Yeah, but we got to have something to talk about.
I know. It honestly, it's fun. I'm okay with it. I'm getting there. Mac is the one that saves her, though. And I love how these aliens in the spaceship, they're just tiny, and they have to, like, they use a beam or something to grow. So my question is, are the aliens actually regular human size, or is their natural state tiny and they just enlarge themselves?
That's a good question. I don't think it really matters if you can so freely shrink and... Well, you know what? I think they would have to shrink to get into the ship, because that doesn't seem like it would be a preparation for any destination. I think the only one would be to shrink you down into the ship.
Yeah. So I'm saying they're just little tiny guys. So they take her into the ship, revive her, and she freaks out. And anything you want to say about this scene?
I don't know.
I think it just happens so they can move on. You have to have that, oh my god, you're aliens moment, so we can get to the rest of the plot. At the same time, it's a great way to show the aliens trying to understand human actions. Like when she freaks out and like squints her eyes and she's like, just take it what you want, but like leave whatever I need to live, blah, blah, blah. And, and Whiplock, his reaction is she's going to explode, duck, and then tucks his head between his knees.
Okay, we'll just grab a kidney. Yeah. I don't think you need that liver.
Did you notice that Jim Carrey acts like a chicken throughout this movie?
Sure.
It's great. I think he is absolutely hilarious in this, and very early role for him. But Valerie tries to leave the ship, and it almost floods the thing.
Well, because her reaction is to just literally grab a random lever on the wall and flip it.
Again, logic does not exist.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't necessarily doubt that action, because we've not been led to believe that she's very intelligent. So that seems like the kind of panicked move she would make.
And I'm fine with it. Like, I'm going along with this movie now, and I'm very surprised.
It would have been hilarious if it, like, initiated the self-destruct.
it would make sense in this movie. Just as much as her coming up with a plan to just take them into her house and make them food, have the pool drained so they can get the ship out.
Anybody who's not quite that intelligent would think maybe that my idea of food is not for them, but this is not the most intelligent person, and she's just trying to do something with the situation. So I'm okay with it.
The biggest laugh I have up until now is right here.
Okay.
Where she's trying to describe LA and saying, like, the air is really good today, and Zeebo and Whiplock immediately start coughing. It's good. It's a good LA joke, man. And then it's followed up with one of the best, or not best, but maybe one of my favorite lines of the movie, where she turns to them and goes, you look like werewolves or Wookiees or something. And people hate that. They're going to want to shoot you or something. It's fucking amazing.
Honestly, this movie gets so much better when you just accept the fact that she's an idiot.
Yeah. Well, you have to accept the fact that this entire movie is stupid as shit.
Well, yeah, look at the premise, of course, but...
And once you do that, it's a lot of fun.
The thing is, I often anticipate the protagonist of a movie like this being somewhat more intelligent.
Yes.
And the supporting cast being idiots, but it's the other way around here, and as soon as you come to terms with that, you can have a lot more fun.
Is it the other way around, or is everyone just an idiot? Outside of Candy. They're all dumb.
I don't think everyone's just an idiot. No.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Who are the smart people in this movie?
Well, Ted's not necessarily an idiot. He's just an asshole.
Oh, he's pretty dumb, man.
Woody is just inebriated.
I love him.
Yeah. They're not all stupid. Come on.
Okay, we'll get to some of the lines that Woody says in this movie, and I'm going to come back at you with, is he stupid or not?
He's just under the influence.
So the aliens get acquainted with Valerie's house, and she calls the pool guy Woody to drain it.
I'm so glad she did that.
Yeah. Anything in this scene stand out to you?
I'm just thrilled by how excited she is to show them Pop-Tarts.
In the fridge, though. Who keeps Pop-Tarts in the fridge?
The same person who says that they're nutritious.
Natural. Oh my God.
Yeah, she says they're like, these are, I think she said low calorie ones. Very low natural.
Oh, God. Them eating the fish, I could do without. And honestly, I hate the weird sound effects cacophony that happens. I thought it was going to be another musical number. I really did. But it turns out to not have any purpose whatsoever except to show that they can mimic sound. But we get that time and time again. The one thing that saved this entire scene for me,
okay,
is Jim Carrey preparing to shit on the floor.
Just the way he is in the corner.
It does like a weird like pelvis wiggle. She's like, no. It shows him the toilet and the look of pure amazement on his face when she flushes it saves everything.
And I love that they do the camera angle from in the toilet so you can see him like looking, examining, leaning in. It's hilarious.
His reactions are phenomenal. And honestly, Damon Wayans too. I was really impressed with Damon Wayans in this movie. I've always loved him. I feel like we don't see enough of him, but that man is one of the funniest actors I have ever seen. Well, Celtic Pride. He was amazing in that movie. Celtic Pride.
I've seen the movie. I don't remember too much of
okay, it. I thought you were going to call me out on that.
No.
Okay.
I don't care how you say it.
But yeah, Jim Carrey and Damon Wayans play off of each other so well.
Why is Jeff Goldblum not an idiot?
Well, he's the captain. He can't be.
So we just assume that everybody but the captain is an idiot?
We have to now.
Why is he traveling with these two?
I don't know. What are they doing?
Is there no other intelligent people in their race for him to actually travel inner space with?
Why are they traveling? What is their goal? What is their mission? What the fuck is going on here? How did we end up here? The TV scene, the piano player, which I'm pretty sure is Jerry Lewis from The Nutty Professor, but I'm not 100% on that. James Dean, the whole "you're tearing me apart" scene, it's good, but this leads us into meeting Woody, played by Michael McKean. When Woody shows up, all I can think is he's amazing. I have in my note here, can you describe him? But you really summed it up. He's inebriated. He's a surfer, stoner, drunk character.
Yeah, he's great.
And I want more of this, but then we just cut to Ted calling and leaving an apologetic message on the answering machine.
He's such a sleazeball.
He really is. But he, like, Charles Rocket plays this role so well. The Finland commercial. With characters with fake Swedish accents. I don't even know what to think about this. It makes no sense. But Zeebo and Whiplock, they take a rather keen interest.
Well, yeah, because apparently all they wear there, even when they're skiing, is bikinis.
That is Finland.
Yeah, all the time.
Valerie comes back in. And I think it's Whiplock asks, is Finland here? And she says, no, Finland's the capital of Norway. Again, I'm laughing hysterically at this. And I realize the people that wrote this movie are incredibly intelligent and they know very good comedy. And I'm sold now. Like, I was on my way, but now I'm 100% in and I'm open to laughing at everything. Which is great because of the next scene we get where Valerie takes them to the salon for a makeover. Any thoughts on this scene? Anything stand out to you? Do you have a favorite part? Do you have a least favorite part? Because this is a solid chunk of the movie.
I love when she reveals Jim Carrey. And she's like, mm-hmm. I went with a surfer look for this guy. And I'm like, I never would have thought of Jim Carrey as a surfer, dude.
He pulls it off so well, though.
He does. He does. But, like, I never would have thought that.
What do you think about Zeebo's reveal?
That's fine. Damon Wayans.
Coming out, and in Candy's voice saying, oh my God, you're like totally black.
Well, because he's mimicking, right?
Exactly. The best of the three reveals, for sure. Because Mac is just the sexy one and Valerie's smitten.
Oh, the movie where Jeff Goldblum is cast as the sexy one.
I know. He's a very awkward-looking man. A giant of a human being, too.
He's not a bad-looking guy by any means, but he's not like the... Oh, he's the heartthrob.
Honestly, of the three, it should be Damon Wayans, right? Because Jim Carrey looks like...
A giant child.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum is a very sharp-featured individual and looks like an alien, like a shaved alien. And Damon Wayans just looks like a fucking cool dude.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, just like the intelligence, Jeff Goldblum is the one that stands out because, honestly, he's just this level-headed, normal dude. You just didn't have to play up how attracted to him she is.
I love that he's the one who's, like, self-aware. He's like, he looks at her and just goes, good? It's like, does this look okay? Again, I have to reiterate, everybody should watch this movie for Jim Carrey and Damon Wayans. The background actions they do, fucking hilarious. Oh, even just Jim Carrey smoking before the makeover, hilarious. He takes Candy's cigarette and has one puff on it and almost throws up on the spot, but it's pure Jim Carrey. It's amazing. I don't like how the next scene, though, is let's just take them out on the town. Because I feel like we've seen this so many times.
But it's so... Like, they're not apologetic about it at all. Candy's like, all right, so what are we doing now? And Valerie's like, well, we can't go out with them. They're aliens. And and Candy's just like, well, that doesn't mean they can't be dates. That's it. That's the entire argument we needed.
That's it. And it cuts right to a montage because 80s comedy. I don't hate it, though.
How could you?
It's just weird fun.
Yes. It's not good, but it's fun.
There's no point in even describing what happens. It's just you sit back and you laugh. And then we get to the club, Decca Dance or something like that.
Honestly, never paid attention to the name. I'm sure I saw it, but I just didn't care. You're watching all the people on the outside.
Did you pick up on Candy complimenting that other girl's earrings?
Like their credit cards, right? Like cut up credit cards?
Oh, but I laughed so hard at that scene.
And she asks, where did you get those? And she says, they're my dad's.
Yeah, so she just cut up her father's American Express cards to make earrings. Because that is the vapid, overprivileged LA culture we're dealing with right now. And I love every second of it.
No. See, I think what happened is that the natural expiry date hit, he got replacements, and then he gave her the old ones. That's probably a very mature and responsible way to do it.
I love that you just had that thought. That is absolutely fucking ridiculous. And it's fantastic. And that is the feel of this movie. And I can't believe I haven't watched it up until now. When you picked this, I was really upset. And I put off watching it for as long as I could until I really had to do notes. But I've seen this movie 4 times now.
What?
Yeah. There were so many parts of this movie that had me laughing out loud that I just showed them to Leah. And she lost her shit. She was laughing hysterically, which made me laugh even more, which made me love the movie even more. I could not get over how much this won me over when it started off with me absolutely hating everything I saw on screen.
The thing is, you need to do multiple viewings because, like you said, there's so many little actions, reactions by guys in the background, like when Jim Carrey, if you're not paying attention to Jim Carrey and Damon Wayans in every scene in the background because something is going on in the foreground, you're probably missing something funny.
Oh, you're cheating yourself. If you only watch this movie once, you are fucking cheating yourself. Because there is so much shit happening in the background that makes this movie even better. Like, four times, Sandro. Four times. And on my fourth watch, I was still picking up background shit that made me laugh.
It's been a week, and you've watched it four times.
In, like, 3 days.
Yeah, because you put it off.
I didn't want to cover this movie. I really didn't. It's so funny, though. So Mac reenacts the Nutty Professor piano scene. Immediately, I'm thinking, how does he know how to play piano? And then Valerie references it, so it just doesn't matter, because it's been addressed. Brilliant.
Well, they really get the impression that they can mimic anything, because...
Exactly.
We're almost there, but Damon Wayans has an entire dance sequence that he mimics, and even sort of predicts, because he's doing it at the same time. So it's not just vocabulary that they can mimic. They can mimic a lot.
I'm really glad you brought up the dance off. I want to ask your thoughts on this because it goes on, in my opinion, way too long.
It is so 80s.
This morning, when I was watching it, that scene started. I let the movie play. I got up. I got changed. I washed my face. I brushed my teeth. I put the kettle on and came back, and they were still dancing.
Yeah, it does not need to be. That's maybe the biggest complaint with this movie is the runtime. It's like an hour 40, and you could easily cut 10 minutes out of just unnecessary. Like, you got the effect of what you were going for with this dance off in the first couple minutes. You didn't need to keep going after that.
Exactly. I agree. We know how it's going to end. Zeebo's going to win. And the guy's going to be dejected.
Did you see the suit that guy was wearing? He's the home court for that guy right there.
Yeah. What do you think about those dance moves?
They're terrible in my mind, but I don't know what 80s dance moves are supposed to be like.
You know what it reminded me of? The dancing in Ninja Rap from TMNT 2, The Secret of the Ooze.
Oh, man. And those people couldn't even move. Wait, are you talking about the turtles?
No, I was talking about Vanilla Ice and his crew on stage.
Oh, okay.
Oh my god.
Yeah, those guys in the turtle costumes really can't move that well.
I don't know. I thought they were pretty fluent in their movement considering what they were wearing. But we're not talking about that movie. So we cut to more flirting between Valerie and Mac, leading to them almost kissing, but not, because they go into the club and break up Zeebo and Whiplock making out with women just to go back to Valerie's house.
Can we not ignore the Jim Carrey tongue?
Yeah, I didn't put that in my notes. I knew you were going to bring it up, though. Go for it.
So I remember the image of him, like, it's like grabbing an ice cube out of the bottom of the glass.
With a lizard tongue?
Yeah, and I remember seeing that as a kid and just thinking, oh, that's a funny sight gag. Totally did not understand the meaning of all three of the women being like, oh, I'm going home with him tonight as soon as they saw it. But yeah. Now I understand, and I should not have been watching this as a kid.
It's a very horny movie, Sandro.
I love how Candy also does not care that this is an alien.
I have a problem with that throughout the entire film. Because, yeah, they shave them down. They look like humans. Even Jim Carrey, when he comes out of his weird upright tanning bed, he's like, we are human now.
The facial expression he has when he says that. Like, yeah. he's seeking, like, validation. Like, yeah. Somebody would be like, good for you. It's just so good.
He's such a child.
Yes.
It works perfectly well. Ted's already arrived at the house at this point, sees the destruction and the missing fish. So he panics and calls the police, thinking they've been robbed and that Valerie's been kidnapped. When Valerie and the guys return, she explains that she won MTV's Weekend with a Band. 1988, I was too young to even understand this if I watched it at the time. 2024, I still don't know what Weekend with a Band was, but apparently you could actually just win a weekend with a band where you would spend time hanging out with them and just partying.
I really enjoy them bringing up MTV because, you know, Valley life, pop culture, it works with this movie.
Was that really a thing? I thought it was just made up for the movie.
I don't know. I assume it's real.
There's no way that they had a contest where you can take a band home for a weekend.
Well, not take a band home, but like spend. I'm going to look it up right now. MTV weekend.
Why?
With a band. History of MTV's Lost Weekend with Van Halen contest from 1984. Interesting. Relive MTV's most insane contest from the 80s. Lost Weekend contest. Okay. Jeffress was the winner of MTV's Lost Weekend contest, and his prize was a few days of debauchery on the road with the 80s metal legends. Oh, shit. I want to get more into this later.
See, now that makes sense to me. Going on the road or having backstage passes with a band, but not taking them home.
Yeah, no, of course not. I definitely want to look into that more, though. That's going to be a nightmare. I can't wait. Ted attacks Whiplock for eating his fish, and the police show up. So he tries to have the aliens removed, but Valerie turns it around on him, and it becomes a domestic call, leading to Ted getting arrested.
I'm okay with it. Get Ted out of the way.
Yeah, right? Me too. It's a lot that happens in a very short amount of time, but it's just to progress the plot. Yeah, quote, plot. Mac and Val have sex, and she has the most Lynchian nightmare scene I have ever witnessed. I don't really want to get into it unless you do, but do you have any thoughts on this nightmare sequence?
Not so much the nightmare sequence, but her sleeping with Mac makes a little bit more sense to me than Candy's blatant interest in Whiplock.
She just wants to fuck. That's all Candy wants.
Yeah, but like Valerie has that, I don't know, fluorescent light wiped on her face. Like she's almost drugged, which when you think about that statement out loud sounds even worse. That, you know,
I never even thought about the fact that he does use the love touch on her,
but he's not intending to sleep with her is the weird thing, because he just wants to make her feel better, right? Even later when he when they're in the car with the police and she tells him to use that hallucinogenic touch on them,
yeah,
he's like confused, like, have sex with cops. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's just trying to cheer her up however she wants to be cheered up. This is a very complicated scene that I don't understand.
Yeah, even when he starts getting naked and she's like, we don't even know if we're anatomically compatible. And then, like, she looks at him, he's off screen, and she's like, oh, nope, no problem there.
Yeah, because he's well endowed.
The main laugh here for me is when they wake up, or when she wakes up the morning after and immediately takes like 6 birth control pills, because she just fucked an alien. Like, let's be real here. That's really funny.
Well, it's the 80s. I mean, you don't even know if they use protection.
Oh, God, obviously not. But we also get the reveal that the aliens have 2 hearts, which comes up later. And it leads to a scene eventually that I don't think the movie even really needs. But the pool's now drained, and the aliens go to work on fixing their ship.
Why does a pool take a whole night to drain? And when the ship landed in it, which is like half the size of the pool, if not more, why didn't more of the water escape?
I was going to say that. And then I realized that when watching this movie, my theory on water displacement doesn't really hold any bearing on how logic in this film works. Valerie is disheartened knowing that Mac can now go home, but I mean, what did you think was going to happen?
But just because they can go home doesn't mean they need to.
Exactly.
Make a weekend of it. You're still going to go home. Just, you know, spend a couple days.
I love your attitude here. I really do. But again, logic.
No logic in this movie. No.
When Woody shows up and he's like, oh, man, she drove her car into the pool. I'm always doing that.
I love that he believes it's a car.
I know. It's great. Because she already told him it's a pool float.
Yeah. like a patio deck in the pool or something like that.
Yeah, he's already forgotten everything that's happened in this movie. It's great. Mac overhears Valerie on the phone with Ted and feels dejected. It's stupid, but I understand that we need that in the movie. There needs to be some sort of romantic break between the two, so when they get back together, it means the world.
But how does he understand all of this? Like,
See, that's a question I have too.
At some point, Mac just goes from mimicking to being fluent in the language and being able to communicate. They don't really tell you when it happens or how, but okay.
Yeah, his understanding of human interaction goes from 0 to 100 in maybe half a day.
But not for the other aliens.
They're just idiots.
Well, yeah, because he's the smart one.
One of my favorite scenes, Sandro, is the next one. And that's the beach.
It's the daydream of the beach, because they're not actually there yet.
Yeah, well, no, it's when Woody takes Zeebo and Whiplock. And he mentions the blonde of the month contest, like, on their way. It's the line like, hey, guys, I just remembered something. What was it? Oh, yeah, they're having the blonde of the month contest. Woody is amazing.
And then they imagine an entire dance sequence.
Which is the best song in the movie by far.
Hands down.
Absolutely amazing. There's so many good lines. So tongue-in-cheek, but biting.
But it's not really happening is the thing. I thought that this was somewhat like the makeover and exaggeration of what's happening, but they snap out of this daydream and they're still in the car on the way there. So who had this vision?
I don't know how to describe it, but I do have to ask you, were there any lines of the song that stood out to you? Because I have a few.
I can't answer that right now.
Oh my God. Okay, so probably one of your favorite lines.
What gave it away?
There were two for me.
Okay.
And I absolutely love them.
Oh, I know you're gonna say mine. I can just feel it.
Okay, you know what? I'll wait until we do favorite lines and then I'll go back to this.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Because I think that many of the lines in this song are worthy of honorable mentions if by chance you didn't pick my line.
Okay. So we'll just cut to another one of my favorite scenes, because somehow in this messed up movie, I have multiple. The pit stop at the gas station. Where Zeebo and Whiplock unintentionally rob the store with a toy gun. I'm laughing the entire time. Right down to things like, do you have candy? And just like the hugs with the attendant who's like, just pleading with the whole time. He's like, I'm an American. You're like, what? But then you get the can you back up scene. And what is with this woman's look?
The 80s.
Is she Barbie? Complete with a pink car? Maybe? I don't know. It fits, though, but it doesn't. It's so weird.
Well, you see, it's very obvious that the movie is trying to give us a social commentary about the image that movies and media portray on the female form, so that they're setting a bad example for our youth. And clearly, it's a lot more intelligent than we thought.
Oh, shut up.
I don't know. It's stupid.
It really is. And it's a lot of fun. And then, of course, the two take off in Woody's car.
How do they know how to drive?
I don't know. They don't. What they show us, like what's happening in the car, does not make sense when it comes to actually driving in the real world.
I guess at the same time, like they've made it very clear that they can mimic a lot of things. They can mimic language, piano playing. Why not driving the car? They were watching Woody drive the car while they were fantasizing about the beach exploits. So
the phone call that Woody makes to Valerie is absolutely amazing. And Mac arrives at the end
he's
of the call.
He's just been chasing them the whole time. Because when they
on
leave
foot.
With,
on foot. Foot,
when they leave with Woody, you see Mac like kind of throwing his shirt on because he's kind of shirtless a lot.
Oh, really? I wonder what happened there.
And starts chasing after them on foot. And then later just shows up at the gas station on foot. And you're like, oh, he ran this whole way.
And he knew where they were going.
And the best part is that the attendant, like, identifies Woody and Mac as I guess, people that held up the store.
Yeah, I love when Woody goes in the store and the attendant's like, get down! This guy robbed. These guys have guns. And he's like, oh no, my friends are out there.
So clearly Woody didn't do it.
Yeah. And Mac just showed up.
And looks nothing like the other two guys.
Nothing. But the police arrest Mac and Valerie when she shows up.
Well, Valerie makes sense because she wants to be arrested and smashes the police car's siren light.
The lights, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, it makes sense why they arrested her. Him, nope.
Yeah. We're almost done this movie, and there really hasn't been a plot yet.
No.
And then we just cut to the highway scene, and it's exactly what we expect. Complete chaos of two aliens trying to drive a car.
Why is the police car that's arresting Mac and Valerie not in a crazy chase scene with this other car? You'd think they would get something over the radio about this sporadic driving on the highway, and you could have probably a pretty funny, entertaining car chase with these aliens.
I agree, but at the same time, this scene is pretty entertaining. Although I was really nervous for the stunt drivers because they pull off some crazy shit here that made me very, very nervous. It ends with them just crashing into a giant donut sign and they're apprehended.
Did they even know where the beach was? No. It feels like they took the car because they were tired of waiting for Woody and they wanted to get to the beach, but it's like, you don't know how to get there.
No, no idea. It's just a scene that's played for laughs. In the police car, Mac uses his love touch on the police to escape. Can't do the scene today, that's for sure.
No.
Zeebo and Whiplock are taken to the hospital, and Ted examines them. So here is where he discovers they have multiple hearts and immediately decides that he's just going to dissect them.
The most obvious reaction, because when you look at them, they don't look alien at all. Is it possible that it's faulty material or faulty equipment? No, you're just immediately, yeah, we got to cut these guys open.
Yeah, discovery of the century. We're going to murder these two and just show that humans have two hearts now. But Valerie and Mac arrive, disguising themselves. And my next note just says, oh dear God, the nurse scene. The scene is so problematic.
The guy in the full body cast.
I mean, it's horrible, but I love every second of it.
Where she's like, call for help, press the call button. He's like, no.
Nope.
No, you're taking your clothes off. I ain't calling no one.
He wants to see Valerie disrobe this nurse, Robin.
It's Robin, though, right? Yeah. Like, it's the same.
Against her will.
Yep.
Valerie rips off some of the guy's bandages to cover Robin's mouth while she's stripping her down. But then they all convince Ted that he's going crazy with sound effects when Valerie and Mac get into, which shouldn't be an operating room. It should be an examination room.
No, because he's going to dissect them, you see.
Yeah. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, see, it's science, dude. I mean, you got to be professional about this.
You fuck right off. Valerie tries to take the aliens home, but a confused Ted breaks down and asks her to take him back to their house.
My only heartbreak is that wasn't Michael Winslow there making sound effects for.
Oh, he's so good, right? We should cover Police Academy.
Should we?
I mean, that's really problematic, too, when you watch it again.
One of the Police Academy movies was on that roster of movies I watched with my cousin, so.
Okay, so yeah, we'll get to it. And we will laugh about things that we're not allowed to laugh about anymore.
Yeah, they don't make them like they used to.
Careful.
In some cases, rightfully so.
some cases, they just can't. It doesn't mean they're not great and fucking hilarious, though. Sorry, we're all too soft now. I'm not sure how Ted doesn't see the aliens in the back seat.
There's three of them.
I know. And they're not really hiding.
No.
He just doesn't acknowledge the fact that apparently he has no peripheral vision. At the house, Valerie distracts Ted while the aliens prep their ship. And honestly, I feel like she's really into them actually reconciling, which is really sad because I feel like she thinks that Mac's gone. So that opportunity of her being happy doesn't exist anymore. And she's going to settle for this piece of shit. It's a really depressing moment of the film, but it's played for laughs somehow. What do you think of the goodbyes?
From here on out until the credits is so rushed. And it's just like they were like, we've run out of jokes. Let's just get to the finish line.
Oh, it's like 5 minutes until the movie's over.
Yeah. She goes from, for some reason, wanting to reconcile with him to flying away in the spaceship with Mac in like 5 minutes.
Yeah. When Valerie says goodbye to Zeebo, it seems genuine and heartfelt. With Jim Carrey, her line is, "Oh, Whiplock, I think I'm going to miss you least of all."
Yeah, that was so good.
And he looks so happy. It's great. But yeah, Ted intervenes and attacks the ship with a pool net. And Mac uses a remote love touch somehow, which we haven't seen before. He uses it on Valerie and Ted, and the ship starts to take off. Somehow Valerie can just snap out of it, and she confesses her love for Mac and then joins him on the ship while Ted molests the cat.
That is such a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know where this ship is going to go and if it can support human life.
No idea. But I guess she knows that they can breathe oxygen. So maybe assuming that she'll be able to breathe on their home planet, it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter.
Well, for some reason, they have two hearts. Might be necessary for the environment. She doesn't have that.
That's a very good point. I didn't think about that. It's kind of, the scene's bookended with Candy and Woody, though, like my two favorite characters. Candy arrives with margaritas and says goodbye. And Woody gets woken up with a can to the head. And all he says is, "Give my love to Finland."
Well, because they told him that it was a foreign car from Finland.
Exactly.
So I guess it flying away must mean it's going back to Finland. Oh, Woody, you're the best.
The ship flies through a donut-shaped meteor, similar to the sign that we saw earlier, the car chase or the highway scene, and credits roll. My next note just says, yep.
That was a movie.
That was a movie. That was a trip, man. That was a ride. I did not expect it. I got really, really mad at you and then loved you all over again.
We didn't go on a trip, dude. The aliens went on a trip. We're home.
Come on. Yeah. Okay. All right. How much do you think this movie cost?
Yeah, it couldn't have been that much.
I only have an estimated number.
I was really eager to say that. 5 million.
10.
Okay. That's generous, I guess. I don't know. Whatever.
Maybe 5 with marketing, but I don't even know how much marketing this movie got. I don't know. It flew under my radar. I remember seeing it on the movie shelves and that was it. I've never heard anyone ever talk about this movie ever. How much do you think it made?
How much did you say it cost?
Estimated 10 million.
5.
3.9. Ratings. IMDb out of 10. What do you think it's rated at?
4.8.
5.4. Pretty close.
Okay.
Going over to Rotten Tomatoes, the tomato meter, critics, percentage of positive reviews.
This is going to go either really surprisingly high or really surprisingly low.
Or surprisingly mid to high.
62.
68.
Oh!
Audience score, not so much.
41.
43. Yeah.
Oh, man!
You pretty much nailed it there. But getting into awards.
Oh, buddy, yes, we are.
Okay.
Who did you have for your least favorite character?
Dr. Ted.
Could it be anybody else?
It's got to be Dr. Love.
That's actually, I didn't write down Dr. Ted. I wrote down Dr. Love. I wrote down Charles Rocket as Dr. Love.
The worst. But he plays the character so well. They did a really, really good job. He's not even really an antagonist. He's just a piece of shit.
Even if they did this movie where he was completely loyal to her and just, I don't know, a little weird or distant or something like that, the second he came out and said he was Dr. Love, even if it was to her, I'd be like, all right, you suck, man.
Yeah, fuck you, man. So we agree it is Dr. Ted for our least favorite character.
Well, is there anybody else in this movie that's not likable? Maybe not the most likable, but is there anybody else that's really not likable in this movie in any way?
Well, I mean, you've got Mrs. Murphy, the neighbor, who's a completely pointless character, but she's almost not in the movie at all. Like, I think we see her like 3 or 4 times. But yeah, for somebody who has significant screen time, it's Dr. Love.
Yeah, there's nothing to dislike about her. She's just there.
Lost opportunity, though. I really thought she was going to call in the authorities. Who's your favorite character?
Oh, come on, dude. It's Candy. Without question, it's Julie Brown as Candy. Honorable mention to Woody, because he was great, but Candy kind of carries this movie.
Okay. I really wanted to go with Woody, because he made me laugh a lot. Okay. But I had to pick Candy. Julie Brown stole this movie.
How could you not pick her?
Every scene she's in, I just want more and more and more. She is fantastic. Absolutely amazing. And I feel like we've been cheated, because I want to see her in more stuff. She is phenomenal. Her acting, she outacted everyone in this movie.
Lapped them.
Yeah. It was absolutely amazing. It was a really nice surprise. And I'm definitely going to take a deep dive into her filmography and just see what else she's done.
What did you have for your favorite line? This is, I guess, where we will probably end up overlapping a bit here.
We're going to differ on this one.
Okay.
For me, it was the phone call from Woody at the gas station.
Okay.
And the line is, I'm omitting Valerie's lines from this conversation.
Okay.
But Woody just says, hey, Valerie, it's Woody. What's shaking? Listen, you know your friends, those Finland guys? I was taking them to the beach. I guess they kind of robbed the mini mart when I wasn't looking, and then they totaled the gas station, and then they ripped off my van.
No, surely that doesn't convey the same way when you say it, huh?
I know. He crams so much information in such a hilarious way that I've rewatched that maybe 6 times and laughed every time.
It is a good scene, but it needs his delivery and the context to be as good as it is.
It's so weird, too, because Michael McKean, Leah just watched all of Better Call Saul, and I've already seen it, but seeing him as Chuck in that show is intense and troubling, and you feel bad for him. But realizing that Michael McKean is such a great comedic actor, and his... not just his delivery, but his expression on film is absolutely amazing. And he nailed this role. This line, hilarious. But what's yours?
So it is from the song.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when she goes into the talking portion, when she's accepting the award as the, I guess, fake beauty pageant winner or blonde contest. Of the month? Yeah. She says, at the end, she's like, right now, I'm a freshman in my 4th year at UCL, or UCLA, but my goal is to become a veterinarian, because I love children.
Yeah, that is one of the two lines I was going to bring up.
I knew it would be.
The other one is, I can't spell VW, but I've got a Porsche. Amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. But next up, memorable scene.
I literally just wrote, because I'm a blonde song and dance.
Really? Okay.
I even like the song. It's catchy.
The song's really good.
Not to mention you have what we didn't really get into too much in detail, but like an entire montage of her singing and dancing on the beach. Whiplock and
Zeebo.
Zeebo are there in the background doing silly things like they always do. It's a great scene.
I can't argue that. It is by far one of the best scenes of the movie. Not my most memorable, though.
Okay.
For me, it's at the salon at the end of the makeover scene when Candy's taking a photo of everyone. And she's like, now everyone say Velveeta slices. And all the aliens have a meltdown because none of them can say that.
Why Velveeta slices of all things too? Like, I get it. Cheese, right? But
exactly. But the look on Jim Carrey's face, and it looks like he's his tongue is just hanging out of his mouth and he just can't pronounce anything. And the confusion on Damon Wayans' face. Like, she just short-circuited everybody in that scene except for Valerie. It's absolutely amazing.
I think we also needed to give Jim Carrey a little bit more of a kudos during the best character, favorite character. Because if you watch this movie with your eye on him, so many of the times when he's not even the focus of what's going on, he's doing something hilarious.
We have to veto Jim Carrey in this movie when it comes to talking about our favorite parts, because this is before he made it big, but this guy's already a star. Already. He outshines everybody in this movie by making a face. So we can't say he's our favorite character. He is probably the most talented physical actor in the movie, right?
Well, yeah. What competition does he have for that, really?
Exactly. He is phenomenal.
But it's like casting Jim Carrey as an alien makes so much sense.
It really does. Just let him go off.
Like, if I'm like, oh, we got to cast an alien in this movie who's going to be weird and unfamiliar with Earth culture, I'd be like, Jim Carrey makes sense.
Jim Carrey.
Jeff Goldblum is not going to be at the top of my list.
No.
But okay.
I don't think anyone was bad.
No.
Anyone. That's rare, man. On this show, that's rare.
Like, even Ted is only disliked because of the character. The performance is perfect for what you're trying to get off. That scene that we just touched on in the gym, the way that he's, like, bragging to his friends and even says, like, you know, the other day I had this blonde, and they're like, and then what? He's like, and then nothing. I'm getting married in a month. Like, his performance is great.
Yeah.
Just a scumbag character, that's all.
Yeah, it's very, very well done.
All right, so that's awards. What are your final thoughts on Earth Girls Are Easy?
I was really annoyed when you said last week that we'll be covering this movie. I started watching it, and I got even more annoyed. And then I just kind of let myself go as the movie went on. And I had such an insane fucking blast with this film. It is so funny. So very funny. I can't believe I put it off for this long. It's stupid. Don't get me wrong. It's a very stupid movie. But it is so much fun. And everybody seems to be having a blast making it. The characters are entertaining. The story is ridiculous but fun. The comedy is through the roof. Like I said, I found myself laughing constantly, to the point where I was showing my partner, like I was showing Leah scenes from the movie, and she was losing her shit over it. And it just made me love the movie even more, to the point where I was excited to watch it again. This is going to be a staple in my viewing from now on. I can't believe I slept on this. I highly recommend this movie to everyone. Just know you're getting into a really dumb movie. There's nothing of insane quality here. It's just really enjoyable. It's feel good. I really wish I watched this for the first time in the summer and not in the late fall or late winter, early spring in Nova Scotia, because this is a movie to watch when the sun's shining, the trees are in full bloom, like green heat, everything. Like, this is a summer movie. If you watch this for the first time in the summer and you're a fan of comedy, this is going to be one of your favorite movies. I highly recommend it to everybody. It's phenomenal. Sandra, thank you so much. I've never been turned around on a film in such a short time. Absolutely love it. Buying it right now. You?
So this movie is objectively not a good movie. The plot is bad to non-existent, but somehow it is so much fun that you just don't care. And if you go into it expecting anything of quality other than just ridiculousness, you're going to be disappointed. But it's hard not to recommend this movie because it is just such stupid fun. And that's something that movies nowadays seem to be forgetting a lot of the time. Everybody's trying to do something meaningful to send a message, to win an Oscar, to make the most money you can make. This movie is just from a time where people had fun, and it feels like a bunch of people that were buddies got together and just shot something for just some stupid enjoyment. And it comes off that way. It's just so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
I was worried myself. When I said it, I was like, I don't remember it quite so well from when I was a kid, but it's got to be stupid because nobody talks about it, and it gets made fun of if I ever hear about it, and it's just... It can't be good if that's the impression you get. And then I watch it, I'm like, I'm tapping my toes to the dance sequences. I'm laughing at Jim Carrey. I'm impressed by some of the moments of brilliant writing. Yeah, watch this movie.
There's so many moments of this movie that just kind of pop up in my mind now where I'll start snickering in public. I actually laughed out loud on my walk to work the other day and spooked a guy next to me. But it's, oh God. Thank you, man. Thank you. This movie is great. It's so good.
So that's our thoughts on Earth Girls Are Easy. If you'd like to share your thoughts, hit us up on social media. We are on Twitter at BSBargainBin, Facebook.com/BSBargainBin, BSBargainBin.com, and YouTube.com/@BSBargainBin. T-shirts are available on our Redbubble artist page. You can find a link to that under the support tab on our website. Ben.
Yo.
I kind of felt that this was necessary after the last couple weeks of more serious movies.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It was a very nice surprise.
Now that I feel that the palate cleansing has thoroughly been complete, I'm kind of open to whatever you got ready for us next week. What are we watching?
Well, we're going to go a lot more serious, a lot darker. We're going to tackle something we haven't really touched on before. I hope you're okay with some heavy emotional drama. Because next week, we are going to be talking 1991's Double Impact.
Jean-Claude Van Damme. He always makes an impact. Now, get ready for Double Impact.
There's two of them. Think about it.
Van Damme times two.
He looks exactly like you.
Me?
Twin brothers reunited on a mission.
Watch my back.
To avenge their parents' death. One packs a punch. One packs a piece.
Look good to me.
Together, they deliver Double Impact.
Excuse me.
From Hollywood to the Far East. On land. On sea. And in the air. They're damn quick.
Express service.
Damn cool. Damn hot.
So now what do we do?
That's what I love about you.
Van Damme. Times two. Double the fun.
I would never in my life wear black silk underwear.
I'm with you on that one.
And double the Van Damage. Double Impact.
So fucking dumb.
Okay, hold on. I gotta say this. Until next week, have a good one.
Now, everyone say, Velveeta slices.